This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Welcome back to our second session, and how exciting was that to be a part of the launch of the commemorative coin to celebrate the 150th Melbourne Cup. And congratulations again to all concerned from the Royal Mint for what they have produced. I know I'll be putting my hand up and buying the special coins because their value will just gather as the years go by. But what a wonderful thing for this Melbourne Cup and this very special Melbourne Cup, the 150th running, to have a coin struck and done so brilliantly. So congratulations again to all from the Royal Mint. We move into session number two, which will take us through to lunchtime. And the theme here is where the Melbourne Cup belongs in Australian culture and why has it endured since 1861. And I'd ask you to please join me in welcoming the chair for this particular session, session number two, Louise Douglas, who's the Assistant Director, Audience Programs and Partnerships Division of the National Museum of Australia. Louise Douglas.
What we thought we'd do at the beginning of this session is in fact show you some of the items that the National Museum has collected over the years that relate to the Melbourne Cup. We haven't got the items here themselves, but we have images, and I've got a number of curatorial staff in the room who have been involved in the acquisition of these objects. So I'm going to suggest to them that as I speak about the images, they might want to throw a few comments in as we go along. Now, the first one we're going to show you is Peter Pan's 1934 Melbourne Cup. And we saw Peter Pan, in fact, in the film earlier today, and wasn't that wonderful to see the actual horse who is associated with this object. And I believe there's quite a controversy about the fact that Peter Pan could be considered to be more of an unsung hero than Farlap. Our senior curator collections, Carol Cooper, might want to say a few words about that.
Can you hear me if I speak?
Yep. Yes. Just give her a mic.
Peter Pan was an amazing horse. I mean, he's one of five horses to have won the Melbourne Cup more than once. And he was a great Depression hero. He was a magnificent horse. His first win was as a colt in 1932, and I believe I can just imagine what the owners and the trainers felt like. He stumbled, he clipped the horse's hooves in front of him. He was at the back of the field. But amazingly, a great horse, he managed to regain himself, and he was off and won the Melbourne Cup. But when he came into the yard to receive the sort of acclamation, his nose and his knees were both covered. You know, were both had mud stains on them. So what an amazing win! Then he then suffered a viral infection and was nursed back. So he didn't appear in 1933. Was nursed back to health in 1933, and then won again, of course, in 1934, which was an amazing win, again with a handicap. So that was incredible. But one of the things that I found out when I was just briefly doing a little bit of research on top of a lot that's been done by my other colleagues at the museum in honour of the fact that Andrew Peacock was coming to in fact have a photo opportunity with our cup last night, and the photo is in fact in the Canberra Times this morning, was the fact that he was called Peter Pan, and of course Peter Pan, that mythical boy who never grew up, was another hero like Peter Pan the horse of the Depression years, that symbol of hope. Eternal youth on the one hand, and of course, you know, the everyday man, Andrew said this morning, the egalitarian feeling that someone, an ordinary person, could also make a lot of money, and a horse that wasn't perhaps at the very top of the field could also win the Melbourne Cup. So we're very happy, and I would just like to say to the Melbourne Racing Club people who are here, can we have Peter Pan as one of as one of the legends, because I think he really deserves that. So thank you for listening to that.
There you are, throwing down the gauntlet. Now, of course, we have two objects relating to Farlap, and the first one is the heart, which Andrew Sayers spoke about this morning. There's absolutely no need for me to tell you anything about Farlap, but perhaps you might be interested to know some of the details of the heart. And you can see, without actually seeing it in real life, you can see just from the image that it's a fragile object, and the whole question of travelling is really impossible for us. After Farlap's death in April 1932, the heart was removed and sent by stable vet Bill Nielsen to Dr. Stuart McKay, an authority on thoroughbreds, and Professor Walsh, Professor of Pathology at Sydney University. As Andrew said, it weighs in about 6.4 kilograms. It's around 50% bigger than an average horse heart. And as you can see, part of the left ventricle was removed during the heart's examination to demonstrate how thick the heart walls were. It then came into the Australian Institute of Anatomy, which was in existence then, but when the institute closed, the heart came to the National Museum in 1984. So it's had an interesting journey into our collection. Farlap's portrait was done by a well-known artist, Stuart Reed. The jockey was to be portrayed wearing the new David Davis, who was the owner at the time, Harry Telford, who was the trainer, colours of the red body and green and black hooped sleeves before the horse had even raced under those colours. Davis arranged for the artist to have access to Farlap in order to paint him from life. So the portrait was produced from those sittings, and it's possibly a head study for a larger work which is now in the committee members' dining room at Moonee Valley Race Club. We got this one from Frank Shepherd, who's a member of the Tattersalls Club and a friend of both Davis and Telford, directly from Reed shortly after it was painted, and it occupied pride of place in his dining room until his death. So it came from the artist to Frank Shepherd and then to us. We have some Mackay Diva silks as well in the collection. They've been signed by Glenn Boss, the jockey who rode the mare to victory 3 years in a row, as we well know, 03, 04 and 05. The conservators have spotted some slight staining on these silks, and they believe it's champagne. And we have some William Forrester silks as well that were worn to victory in two successive Melbourne Cup races on two different horses in 1897 and 1898, but we don't actually have an image of those to show you. Really, the point I'm trying to make is that the museum is very committed to making sure our collection contains significant objects associated with the history of the Melbourne Cup, and that we continue to look for ways to display them. So, and as Matt mentioned this morning, the big new permanent gallery that's opening in April next year in the museum will contain a special feature on Flemington, and Farlap's heart will be put back on display at that time.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.